Please be seated. And we return to Paul's letter to his friend Philemon. We're going to be looking at Philemon verses 4 through 7, but again, to be properly oriented to our passage, we're going to begin reading at verse 1 at the beginning of Paul's little letter. And as we commented last, Lord says we read Paul's letter to his friend Philemon. Someone has said it's like listening to one side of a telephone conversation. We're not quite sure what's going on the other end of the line, or maybe it's like peering through a keyhole into a room. We see a little part of the picture, but we're not able to see all that's going on. But we come to this as God's word given to us for our instruction. Philemon verses 1 through 7. Hear God's word. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. And so we have the word of our God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that as we come to this brief portion of your word this evening, that you would direct our thoughts, that you would be our teacher, and we pray that you would instruct our hearts. And we ask, our Father, that we might have great joy in receiving the words of the Savior who has given his life, that we might be his beloved people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul is thankful for his friend Philemon, and he tells him so. In fact, as we read the little letter and the portion that we read this evening, Paul leads with that. After he gets the introductory formalities, if you like, out of the way, the greeting, the introduction, Paul expresses his thankfulness for his friend Philemon. He is really thankful for the fellowship that the Lord Jesus has brought him into with Philemon. And of course, in one respect, as Paul writes in that way, that's typical of his letters, in all of his letters except his letter to the Galatian Christians. Paul expresses his gratitude, his thankfulness to be in fellowship with various congregations of Jesus' church. But tonight, Paul is addressing an individual. This is a personal letter, and as Paul writes to Philemon, Paul leads with the fact that he is thankful for Philemon and for the friendship that they have in the Lord Jesus. And of course, right at that very point, it encourages us to ask ourselves, do my friends, do the members of Knox with whom I have fellowship, do they know that I am thankful for them? Have I made it clear from my words and from my actions that these are people whom I prize, and I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus has brought me into fellowship with them? That's a good question to ask as we gather around the table of the Lord Jesus, remembering the picture that Paul gives to us. We are, as it were, one loaf. We're united with one another. We're integrally woven together as the Lord Jesus redeems us as his people. And sadly, the Corinthian Christians had overlooked the bonds that united them in the Lord Jesus. It seems that they were forgetful of their brothers and sisters rather than being thankful for them. But here tonight, Paul expresses his gratitude for his friend Philemon, and shows us how to be intentional in expressing our gratitude. And we might ask some questions that Paul prompts in the verses that we have before us. We might ask ourselves the question, what am I thankful for? And Paul prompts that question in verses 4 and 5. We might ask ourselves, what am I praying for? As I think about my brothers and sisters, and Paul prompts us in that direction in verse 6. And then perhaps we're prompted to ask ourselves, in what way have I been blessed through the friendships that Jesus has established between me and the brothers and sisters of his redeemed ones. So we come to our passage this evening. Paul, what are you thankful for? And in verses 4 and 5, Paul does not leave us guessing. He doesn't leave Philemon guessing what it is that he is thankful for. Now, as Paul expresses to Philemon the things that he's thankful for, it's not as if Paul is stroking Philemon's ego. Paul is encouraging and affirming Philemon. And as Paul does that, it's good for us to remember that our brothers and sisters put themselves out there in different ways. Philemon, you remember, Paul addresses him as a fellow worker. And now Paul expresses his appreciation for his fellow worker, his gratitude. Paul is thankful for him. And sometimes our fellow workers put themselves out there and they're left guessing. You see, it's about stewardship of gifts. It's about encouraging people in their service. It's about guiding people in serving the Lord Jesus. Sometimes people prepare for a Sunday school class or maybe a catechism class, and they prepare, they labor, they teach, and nothing. And they're left wondering, did I miss the mark? Was no one instructed? Was no one edified? Did the Lord not bless anyone through what I just did? And they're left. Yeah, the person perhaps who serves in one way or another, and there's no response, and they're left wondering, perhaps my gifts lie somewhere else. Maybe I'm not gifted in this area of service. The person who gives in one way or another and is left wondering, well, maybe I misunderstood. There really was no need. I'm not scratching where it itched. You see, Paul is very communicative with Philemon. And in verse 5, I hear of your love and the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And Paul says, Philemon, here's what I'm hearing about you. I keep hearing about the love that you have for all the saints. It's probably statement there is probably a chiasm. It's a faith in the Lord Jesus that expresses itself in love for all the saints. Here's the reality of Philemon's trust in the Lord Jesus. It translates into a love for all the saints. Paul says, this is what I hear. I hear and it's so interesting. These Christians are talking about each other. And as they talk about each other, what are they saying? Well, what Paul's hearing is he's hearing about the love that Philemon has, the way his fellowship is a blessing to the saints because he's finding opportunities to express his faith in Jesus through love to the saints. And Paul hears about that. In fact, the way the Greek is put, it's the idea. Paul keeps on hearing about it. It's not just one report, but it's many reports. People are saying, wow, Philemon has been such a blessing because of the ways he demonstrates love. And of course, it's good for us to, we are cautioned, aren't we, about speaking against one another in the wrong way. Here's the right way to speak about one another. These Christians are speaking about Philemon's glowing qualities, the grace of Jesus in his life. That's the talk of the Colossian church, and that's the report that's coming back to Paul, and it's coming back repeatedly to Paul. I remember when I was a student at Edinburgh University, there were a number of us who used to eat together in the dormitory cafeteria, and often there was lots of good-natured banter went on, and often when they were closing the place up, we were still there. And the joke among us was that we were all afraid to leave in case the others would talk about us. In Jesus' church, we shouldn't have fear about what others are saying about us. And Philemon has got no fear because the report that's reaching Paul, the Christians in Colossae are abuzz with the fact that Philemon is someone who demonstrates the love of Jesus and expresses that in many ways. And so here is Philemon How's Philemon? How are the Christians talking about Philemon? They're talking very positively about him. You and I should be able to trust our brothers and sisters to speak about us in ways that build up, in ways that affirm the Lord's grace in our lives, in ways that encourage the use of our gifts and guide help direct us in our ministries. And remember that the Lord Jesus talks about us. How does he talk about us? Well, John tells us in 1 John chapter 2 that Jesus, in the presence of his Father, is our advocate. Jesus has nothing but good to say about you and me. Isn't that amazing? Here we are, redeemed sinners. Here we are, fallen creatures, redeemed in the Lord Jesus. And Jesus, in the presence of his Father, Jesus who knows us so well and could say lots of uncharitable things about us, Jesus is our advocate. We're to be one another's advocates in the hearing of our brothers and sisters. And as Paul sees, hears reports of Philemon's love, Paul gives thanks to God in prayer for that. He says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. He realizes that this is God's grace in Philemon's life, and he gives God thanks for it. And it's maybe a good thing at the end of a Lord's Day, as we reflect back on the things that we've enjoyed, to give thanks to the Lord for the ways in which he has blessed us through our brothers and sisters. And of course, thankfulness prompts prayer. And Paul tells us what he's praying for in verse 6. Now, verse 6 is a verse that's rather difficult to translate. Paul says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. And that verse is a verse that the commentators rack their brains over because it's not exactly clear what Paul is saying. And part of the reason for that is Paul is being very discreet. As Paul thinks of Philemon, not only does he think about Philemon's good qualities, but he's very discreet in how he speaks about Philemon. And of course, it's good for us as we speak of one another and as we speak to one another to be discreet. And be careful what we say and be careful when we're talking of others. And the Lord knows. The Lord knows what's going on in individuals' lives. And as we perhaps express prayer requests, we can be discreet in that regard and trust that the Lord knows the details. Here's Paul. And Paul is speaking about Philemon, some things that are going on in Philemon's life. And he does so in ways that are very discreet to the point where it's not easy for the translator to understand what's going on. Paul says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that's in us for the sake of Christ. Now, when Paul speaks about the sharing of your faith, what do we think of? We immediately think of evangelism, don't we? We immediately think of witness. But Paul's not speaking about that here. When Paul speaks about sharing of faith, the word that he uses is koinonia. It's the word for fellowship. And Paul is talking about the fellowship that we have with one another because of our faith in the Lord Jesus. When we think of fellowship, we tend to think of something that we can confine to the hall downstairs, or maybe confined to the foyer, or maybe one of the classrooms after Sunday school. But fellowship refuses to be confined to by walls. Fellowship describes the partnership that we have because we are knit together in the Lord Jesus. We are one body in Christ. We are part of one body. We participate in one another's lives. And when Paul speaks of the sharing of our faith, one commentator says it's the mutual participation that is proper for your faith. In other words, Philemon is someone whose life is well connected with the lives of others. His life is a shared life. It's a life shared with brothers and sisters. And then with that realization, we can get the flavor of what Paul's getting at without getting into the weeds of how exactly the rest of the verse should be translated. Paul is praying that Philemon's involvement in the lives of others will lead to all sorts of blessings. That's the gist of what Paul's saying. He's saying, Philemon, my prayer is that because of the way you're connected with others, that there's going to be ripples of blessing that will spread out, that God will make that fellowship effective, that he'll cause it to be fruitful, that he'll bless it so that there'll be, well, full knowledge. And he's talking about the experiential knowledge that we have of God's goodness as we interact with God's people, the practical discoveries. That's the gist of what Paul's saying. Philemon, you're someone, your life is characterized by love, a love that causes you to share your life with your brothers and sisters, and I'm praying that that's going to lead to all kinds of blessings that might go beyond what you can imagine. And that's a good thing for us to be praying, that our interactions and our rubbing shoulders with one another will lead to all kinds of blessings beyond what we might be able to imagine. In fact, Paul talks about that, doesn't he, in Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, where he says, God is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or imagine, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. You see, Paul's saying that Jesus works in his church to do more than we might ask or imagine as our lives interact with one another, as we bear one another's burdens, as we weep with those who weep, as we rejoice with those who rejoice, as we serve one another, as we love one another. There's a rippling out of blessing that Paul's really excited about. And in fact, in Philemon's case, that's already happening. And Paul identifies what has been a blessing in verse 7. And we can sense Paul's excitement. Paul is really excited about this relationship that he has with his friend Philemon. Someone says the news of Philemon's love has animated the apostle. Paul's just, he's really excited. We get excited about all kinds of things, but Paul's excited because Philemon's life is interwoven with the lives of others there in the Colossian congregation, and there's a rippling out of blessing as Philemon expresses a love that flows from his faith in Jesus. And so in verse 7, Paul says, I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Here's what Paul's hearing in his prison cell. These reports that keep coming to him about Philemon's love. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Philemon's presence in the lives of the members of the Colossian congregation, Philemon's presence has been a refreshing presence in their lives. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We heard earlier the testimony about the retreat up at Harvey Cedars and the refreshment that comes from being with brothers and sisters around God's Word. And that's the refreshment that we should experience a little portion of Lord's Day by Lord's Day as we gather together with our brothers and sisters around God's Word. There's refreshment in it. And the term that Paul uses for refreshment, it's actually a term that sometimes was used in a technical sense of soldiers. You have soldiers who are on the front line. They're engaged in battle. They're out there. But then what you want to do, if you're a wise commander, you're going to rotate those soldiers away from the front line so there's an opportunity for them to be refreshed, so there's an opportunity for them to recover. And here Paul is speaking about that. These Christians have been out in the world, and now they come together, perhaps on the Lord's Day, maybe at other times. As they come together, it's a time of refreshment. It's a time of blessing. And Philemon is a part of that. Now, your brothers and sisters go out there, and they're on the front lines, Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday. They're out there on the front lines. They're engaged in all kinds of tense and difficult and demanding and trying situations, stressful situations, exasperating situations. And then the Lord in his gracious providence, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, rotates us back from the front lines and places us amongst his people that our hearts might be refreshed through our fellowship, through brothers and sisters who bear our burdens, who show us the love of Jesus. It's the same word for rest that Jesus uses in Matthew's Gospel 11, where he says, come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you refreshment. It's the idea that we had back in Asa's reign, where Asa saw to it that his kingdom was a kingdom shaped by God's word. And as he honored the Lord in that way, the Lord gave rest and peace. The community of God's people is a place where you and I are to have rest and to be where we're to be at peace with one another, where we are able to relax, knowing that we've got friends who care for us, people who will speak well of us, people who will pray for us, people whose faith will translate into a love for us, people who will give us the encouragement and the affirmation and the feedback that allows us to make good use of our gifts so that we're not left wondering about the things that we do. And so Paul looks at Philemon and Paul says, what you're doing has refreshed the hearts of the saints. They found your presence to be a refreshing, encouraging, blessed presence. And Paul is delighted at that because the peace of the Lord Jesus is being reflected through Philemon's life to refresh and to bless the saints. And what a wonderful thing that here we are, united in Jesus Christ with bonds of peace established by the Holy Spirit so that we can rest in the presence of our God and in fellowship with one another. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for your word. We thank you for this record that has been preserved for us of a sweet friendship between Paul and Philemon. We thank you this is given to us for our instruction, and we pray that we would indeed be instructed by it, and that we would be such a blessing to one another that our brothers and sisters' souls might be refreshed through their fellowship with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here now is the table that Jesus